Scripture reading this evening is 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 13 and 14. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance.
So how's everybody doing this evening? That's good to hear. We'll see whether or not I'll have a voice at the end of this. This was a first for me. I didn't expect to have to do singing and doing the speaking, but that's all right. It's a new experience, and I'm happy to take it on. So, as you all have known throughout this semester, I've been having a general epistles class with Dr. Moss, and it's probably one of the most favorite classes that I've taken thus far at OVU. I've thoroughly enjoyed going through James, 1st and 2nd Peter, and then we're going into Jude, and then 1st and 2nd and 3rd John to end it out. But the general epistles are something that I hadn't spent a lot of time on in the past, but they're very underrated books, and if you hadn't spent a lot of time, as I have, on these books, I highly suggest you do so. There's a lot of stuff that is relevant in today's culture and society. And tonight, my lesson is titled Living Your Best Life. And I know that term of phrase is thrown around a lot nowadays in society. We often hear such and so is living their best life. But I wanted to know what makes the qualifications for living your best life. You know, we often hear phrases like this, and some of you may hear, you got to live your life to the fullest, or you only live life once, so we have to make the best of it while we're here. But often we define it in terms of how often do we get to do what we want to do or not what we want to do. And sometimes the world makes us feel like if we don't get to do exactly what we want to do, exactly when we want to do it, then we are not living our best life, that we are living a failure, that we are not living up to the expectations that is set before us. And that can be pretty depressing. In fact, that can be very damaging to someone's self-esteem and their value of their own lives. But as I notice more and more about this turn of phrase, that we try to live up to the world's standards when it comes to living our best life or living our life to the fullest. And how can we live up to the world's standards when the world's standards are always changing? You know, how far you want to go back, the standards of living have constantly changed. And how you live a good life back then may not be how you live a good life now. It used to be you put in a hard day's work, and that was enough for you. You felt accomplished in doing something as far as what you put to the task. But nowadays, it seems like we're being encouraged more and more to do less and less and have more and more given to us as opposed to working for more in return. And when we don't get what we want, it seems that we're not living up to the world's standards. And I want to give you guys a good example here. A few years ago, before I came to OVU, I had a support manager's job at Walmart. I was making decent money. I had my own apartment. I had the things that I wanted. I was paying all my bills. I was making ends meet. And I felt accomplished in what I was doing because I was being a productive member of society. I was holding down a full-time job and all the responsibilities that it included. And I got along with everybody. It worked relatively well. I thought I was doing okay. But on the outside, it seems like it wasn't enough. I was often looked down upon for holding a retail position as if that wasn't good enough. No matter how much money I made working at that position, that I was never going to be good enough as long as I stayed there. In fact, I was not living up to my potential. And in fact, I really wasn't. You know, I was making ends meet. I was making decent money. And I had the things that I wanted. But it just wasn't enough. I could do as put in as much hours and as much energy as I wanted to in my job. But in the end, it would just end up empty. And I get the feeling that if we are trying to make it by the world standards, we're going to come up short. And we're going to come up short all the time. Because if we are living to the world standards, we're never going to make it. How can we live up to the world standards when the world doesn't even know what it holds as standard? The world can't seem to make up its mind what it seems to want, and especially when it wants from us. So that begs the question, how do we live our best lives? If we can't meet the world standards, are there even standards to meet? Where can we find our purpose? And are there standards set to where we can actually meet them? Is there an achievable goal? And like all good three-point sermons, there is an answer for them. And we find that answer here in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 13 through 25, if you want to follow along with me. I'm using the Christian Standard Version. There are some things in the translation that I don't feel captures the essence of it, but there's one particular phrase that I feel like it captures the complete essence of what Peter is trying to say here. A little bit of background information on 1 Peter. Like James, he is writing to Christians who have been dispersed from their homes, from everything that they've known, and they are facing trials and tribulation. And so things are not looking very bright in their future. And they're very discouraged. And Peter is writing to them, telling them that these are all things just as a test to make sure that your faith is truly where it needs to be. As metal is tested for its purity and its as its endurance, I'm struggling for a better turn of phrase to describe it, but trials come our way so that our faith can be tested. If it's not where it needs to be, we know how far to raise it. If it's where it needs to be, then we can still do better. So let's see what Peter has to say about how we live our best lives. And it says in verse 13, therefore, with your minds ready for action, be serious and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Believers in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith... Skipping way ahead, my apologies. Verse 17 is where I'm meaning to pick up. And if you address the Father as Father, the one who judges impartially, based on each one's work, you are to conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your temporary residence. Now, the Christian Standard Version, in backing up to verse 15, it says, "Be serious," but the better term here is to be sober-minded, and sober-minded can mean not under the influence of a substance, but the essence of it is have a clear mind and have your mind set on one fine goal, or be ready, be serious. You know, we have to know what's at stake here. We have to have a clear picture as what's at stake here. Because anything that we come up against in this world is temporary. If we're going through trials, then it's just a test to see where we are. It's not going to last forever. And if it means going over that hurdle just to get to heaven, then by all means, it's well worth what you're going through. Now, the phrase that I really think captures the essence of it here is in verse 17, where it says, "You are to conduct yourselves in fear or reverence during the time of your temporary residence." Peter recognizes that they're going through tribulations and they are going through these tough times in a place that is unfamiliar to them. They are forced out of their homes, their very way of life, into something new and probably something that they are very uncomfortable with. But it is only temporary. What we are going through here in this nation, as we come up against more and more persecution, and it's only temporary. This is not going to last forever. And if we are having these trials and tribulations come our way, if it means heaven at the end of the day, then it's so worth it. It is completely worth it. And while we try to meet the world standards, we understand and we realize that we are going to fall short of those standards. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of trying to live up to the standards of a world that's never going to accept me when it comes to the faith that I profess and what I am trying to do. But to answer my second question, is there a standard that we can meet? And church, yes, there is. There is definitely a standard set that we can achieve. The standard that Christ set when he was here on earth going through his ministry, he set the standard pretty high. But it is a standard that has never changed. It is a standard that has been there yesterday, today, and forever on. Christ set the bar, and that bar has never moved. So what is that bar exactly? What is the bar that we have to meet? Picking up in verse 18. "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without defect or blemish. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of times for you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. By obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for a sincere love of the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For like all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you as the gospel." There it is, plain and simple. That's the bar set before us. That is the standard of our living. Loving one another. Not just loving one another, but loving one another with sincerity. Earnestly loving one another. That is how we live our best lives. Because that's what Christ did for us. Christ knew what we were going to do. He knew who we were going to be. He knew the mistakes that we were going to make. He knew how much we were going to fall short. And he still died for us, knowing everything that was going to be thrown at him, even to death. He followed through. He showed unconditional love by sacrificing himself for us when we most definitely didn't deserve it. So how do we live our best life? We showed that same love and compassion to somebody who may think they don't deserve it either. There's a lot of tough situations out there, and there are a lot of people who need our love. That's how we meet Christ's standard of living. That's how we live a fulfilling life, a satisfying life, by showing love to those who may not think they deserve it, showing love to those who absolutely need it, because that is the love that was shown to each and every one of us when we most definitely didn't deserve it. And no matter what the world says, no matter how much people tell you you're not doing enough or you're not living your best life according to their standards, if you are trying your best to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to show the love of Christ that this world so desperately needs, then that standard doesn't mean anything in the end, as long as we are trying to show the love of Christ, because that's how you meet Christ's standard of living. And that's the only one that matters, because that's the only one that's going to last throughout eternity. And that is my message for you all this evening. It's not easy to love your neighbor as yourself. Many times we all struggle with this aspect of our Christian walk. But let me tell you here, right now, among the assembly, are a body of believers that seek to love. And that is a beautiful thing. Why not, if we are needing that love, what better place to receive it than right here and right now? If we are struggling to show love to others, what better way to surround yourself with the body of believers, to pray with them for you, and to give you what you need right here and right now? Because after all, this isn't just a building. This is a hospital for the broken. And we need to treat it as such. Tomorrow may be too late, but we have right here and right now to depend on one another and to lean on each other so that we can be better Christians at the end of the day. And if you have not obeyed the gospel, why not get to experience that unconditional love? You know, people often say how judgmental and hypocritical Christians are, but I don't see it here. I've never received judgment or condemnation here. I've been shown nothing but love here. Why not take that love and share it with whoever else that we can, by obeying the gospel, by repenting of your sins and confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, and putting him on in baptism to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that you can live faithfully and loving as a good Christian should do. If you have any need, come forward as we stand and sing.